our prayers. How marvelous that is, that those children have come to faith and that other children in our program who already have that faith are growing in faith. These are things that are of eternal significance. Well, today we're thinking about breakthrough prayers. A few weeks ago, for fun, we had our family visiting with us from England, and so we took them and put them in a locked room. I don't know whether some of you have done these locked room escape experiences, but they're really fun, they're really interesting, and the one that we went to was based on the theme of Egypt, and it was called The Curse of the Pharaoh. And you had to work through all of these puzzles. You work through the puzzles, you get into one room, you work through the puzzles, you get into another room, you work through the puzzles, and you're not quite sure which is going to be the last puzzle, which is going to help you to escape. And all this time, you only have 1 hour, and the clock is ticking down, and the pressure is building up. And so the good thing is we didn't have any family arguments or falling out. We managed to get out with 8 minutes to spare, not because we were clever, but because we asked for a lot of clues. And so we were able to get there. But it's almost like this in some ways when you think about prayerfulness in your life. Sometimes you're praying for a breakthrough and you're not quite sure when it's going to come. And you don't know whether you're sort of at the beginning or in the middle, or you're just about to get the door for that breakthrough opened. And we're thinking about this at the moment, breakthrough prayers. And in this last week, of course, Rosie and the team had the holiday program called Egypt. And during that, they learned about Joseph and the Pharaoh and Joseph's family, and how going into Egypt was a blessing to them. It helped to save them from famine. But at the time of Moses, by the time you get to that time, that family had grown, they had multiplied, and the Pharaoh was frightened of them, didn't know what to do with them. And so he acted to subdue them. And Egypt changed from being a place of sanctuary, as it was in Joseph's time, to a place of slavery in Moses' day. Things were really bad for the people of Israel. The Pharaoh was ordering that male babies be put to death. And now for this people, rather than living in a country that welcomed them, gave them shelter, now they needed to escape. Now they needed a breakthrough, to be able to break out and to be able to break free. And they were praying. But when would this happen? So our series at the moment is Breakthrough Prayer. Each of the characters that we're looking at is facing a difficult and sometimes dangerous situation, and they're interacting with kings, with pharaohs. Last week we saw how King Xerxes had ordered the annihilation of the Jewish people throughout his kingdom, and how Esther needed a breakthrough. And she called people to fast. And as they fasted and prayed, she also fasted and prayed. She needed this breakthrough. Today we're thinking about Moses and the people of Israel and the breakthrough they needed. Later in the series, we'll think about Daniel, who, when praying for a breakthrough, was caught praying and put in a lion's den by King Darius the Mede. And then at the end of this series, we'll look at Nehemiah's prayer and the support he needed from the king in order to rebuild Jerusalem. And each of these people needed a breakthrough. Maybe today you need a breakthrough. Certainly, as you know, in the life of our church, there are things that we need breakthroughs in our church. Now, some of you about now might be tempted to tune out and think, this message is not for me. I'm not in the league of Moses. I'm not an Esther. I'm not a Daniel. I'm not a Nehemiah. I don't have any relationship to an earthly king that I need to go and see in some sort of dangerous situation. Their story is not my story. I can see you all. I know what's going on. Bear with me. Where is the great breakthrough prayer of Moses to which God responded by freeing the people of Israel? Trick question. There isn't one. We don't find Moses on his knees praying to God, asking for the deliverance of his people. Instead, where is Moses? He's out in the desert. He's looking after sheep. He sees in the distance a burning bush. That's not unusual. In dry and arid conditions, sometimes the vegetation catches fire and it burns and then it's over with. But Moses kept looking and this bush kept burning and he became intrigued and so he went for a look. Rather than Moses, as it were, going to God in prayer, God had come to Moses and captured his attention. Now, I'll come back to that conversation in just a moment. But for now, I just simply want to point out, it's not Moses who has initiated this breakthrough by prayer. It's not that God is responding to what Moses has said and done. The question is, what prayer is God responding to? And we read, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God is responding to the cries of the people who were suffering under the hands of the slave drivers. And we read God saying, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now, just think about these cries for a moment. I don't suppose that these were well-crafted, deeply theological, wordy prayers. I think probably what was happening there was their prayers would be few and often. Oh God, help me. Look at the situation I am in. And God had heard their cries for help, cries of desperation. Perhaps in their beds at night, they may have formed longer prayers, searching prayers, even questioning prayers. God, where are you? Why are you silent? Why are you not answering? Please help my family. Give us rest. Save us. They may even have had angry prayers, crying out to God, shouting at God, challenging God in their agony of heart. And I'm sure that most of us, at some time, at some point in our lives, will have had this sort of prayer experience, heartbreak, praying through our sobs and our tears, not finding words, not knowing what to say, but simply in desperation crying out to God. And if you're familiar with the Psalms, you will know that many of the Psalms have this sort of prayer within them. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? And so many of us will have known these sorts of prayers. And maybe for some of you, they have been your prayers in this past week. Heartfelt prayers from people in distress, and they're reaching the Lord with a sort of cumulative effect. You don't need to be a great prayer warrior, penning masterpieces of literary merit to form a prayer that God will hear. God is listening. God is attentive. God hears every prayer. He hears the prayers, the cries of the broken heart, to prayers about everyday matters, to praise and joy and thanksgiving, to our requests for others and for ourselves. God hears the prayers of those who are too young to know how to pray, to the prayers of the elderly who are struggling for breath and strength and cannot focus as they once did. You see, prayer is not about God hearing only the giants of faith, those who are so good at prayer, but about hearing the most humble of faith. To hear the stumbling, the stuttering prayer, the don't know how to start it, don't know how to finish it prayer. So to return to Moses for just a moment. There he is, burning bush, kneeling before God who has told him this is a holy place. At essence, prayer is a conscious conversation with God. When we are aware, it's God that we're talking to. I stress this because I don't mean that sort of inner self-talk, that conversation we have with ourselves, and I don't mean just anything we may say aloud, like what does that driver think they're doing braking in front of me like that. What I mean is when we are actually conscious that God is there, that God is listening, that we are speaking with God, and that we are wanting to hear from God. We might tend to think of prayer in the more formal sense, adoration, thanksgiving, supplication, confession, and there is room for us to grow and to mature in our prayers and to find better words to express what we want to say to God, or perhaps to read the great prayers of others that may inspire us to find words to pray. But at core, prayer is simply talking with God. So while it may not be immediately obvious that this is what Moses is doing, he's actually in this conversation praying. God is speaking to him, he is speaking to God. Now the highlights, or perhaps the lowlights, of Moses' prayer at this time are, here I am, not a bad start. Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh? What if they do not believe me or listen to me? I have never been eloquent. I'm slow of speech and tongue. And finally, please send someone else. Now, this is not the model prayer for us to follow. This is not the prayer of someone with the inspiration to make the breakthrough with Pharaoh. We've got to give it to Moses. It is an honest prayer, isn't it? And sometimes we feel like that. But it's not very inspiring. It's not inspirational, like Winston Churchill saying, we will fight them on the beaches, or John F. Kennedy's inaugural address, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Moses' own prayer was not a prayer that's really going to rattle their cage and get things happening. It was not as if Moses had prayed a breakthrough prayer to move God's heart. Whose prayer was it? The prayer of the common people. The prayer of those who, looking at themselves, might think, I'm ordinary. It was these prayers that God heard. And if you keep that in mind, you'll realize your prayers matter. Your prayers make a difference. You might be tempted to say, my prayers really don't matter. I'll leave it to the professionals, like J. Chol, John. We'll let them pray for the church. Or maybe I'll leave it to the elders the people on parish council, or maybe I will leave prayer too, put the name in the blank, whoever you feel might be better at it than you. But in reality, your prayer is needed. You might feel like Moses and offer up excuses. I'm not good at prayer, never been eloquent, slow of speech, can't find the right thing to say. But you know, rather than being excuses, in many respects, that's the list of prerequisites. Those are the qualifications for prayer. It's better for us to be humble and recognize our inadequacies than to be proud and wordy in our prayers. Jesus made this clear, and he said to his disciples, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." The wonder of prayer is not that any of us are any good at it, as if our ability to pray had merit in and of itself. Rather, the wonder lies, as one author put it, when we, as weak prayers, meet a willing Savior. It's not that we as prayers, or even the content of our prayers, have that merit. Rather, it's God who invites us to pray, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his prayer that is at work within us. Prayer is trusting God. Prayer is humbly recognizing, I am weak. I don't really know what I'm doing here. God, I'm not sure how to express myself in prayer, but knowing that God who hears us is able to see and know and understand. You know, it's wonderfully liberating when we realize it's not the cleverness or eloquence of our words that touch God's heart. It's just that we as his children come to him in trusting prayer. We just pull on his trousers. We touch him and try to get his attention. It's not so much that we know how to pray, but in seeking God, God lifts us up and hears what's on our hearts. Prayer is this humbly recognizing, I am weak, but he is strong. Prayer is this leaning on God. It's placing our hope in God. Like the people of Israel, we can simply cry out to God with heartfelt prayers, knowing we can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. We can cast our prayers towards him because he invites us to pray. This is really marvelous. Now, what difference does this make to us here at Greyfriars? Well, for those who are our guests or are not too familiar with us as a church, Greyfriars is a praying church. Prayer is a normal part of our prayer life. We begin our church year focusing on God at our 8-to-8 prayer day. We pray first, we humble ourselves before God weekly on Saturday mornings and Thursday mornings. We meet for prayer once a month. We have a prayer for our missionaries where we lift them up to God and we meet together, have lunch and pray for the missionaries. Each school term, we have a season of prayer where for 4 or 5 weeks and a Tuesday at lunchtime, we come together and we pray for our church. Our church staff pray weekly on Tuesdays, and you as individuals in the church pray in many and various ways. Prayer is normal. Prayer is what we do in the life of the church. Prayer is essential to our church life. And I invite you to be part of it. So many of you are, and I invite you all the more. Enter into prayerfulness with us. Join one of our prayer meetings. If the time of our meetings doesn't suit you, then talk to us and we'll see if we can get 2 or 3 more people together with you to pray. I'm convinced that there is a direct and discernible link between the prayerfulness of a people in the church and how that church is doing. You can't be a healthy church spiritually healthy church if you're not praying. The mission of the church will go nowhere if it's only in our own strength we're doing it, if we're not praying. J.C. Ryle wrote, "Just as the first sign of life in an infant when born into the world is the act of breathing, so the first act of men and women when they are born again is praying. Prayer is to the church is what breathing is to the body. Prayer is necessary. Prayer is essential. Without it, we spiritually wither and die." And many of us will know this because there'll be times, if we're honest, when we haven't been prayerful in our lives and we've just sort of felt our Christian life, our Christian energy, our Christian desire fading away, fading away, fading away, fading away. And sometimes we know that we need to come back into that presence of God in prayer, but we feel we're so far away from God. How can we do this again? We know what it's like to be up and down in our prayers, but it's so essential if we're going to be spiritually healthy as individuals or as a church. And one breakthrough that we want to see this year is to help people become more confident in prayer and more involved in the prayer life of our church. The reason that we have this series on prayer at the beginning of the year is because we want to start in prayer and to be prayerful all the way through. It's not that we want one or two prayer giants to step up and carry the load. Rather, we want each and every member of our church to kneel down, to kneel before the Lord in prayer, to raise their prayers to God, to do it individually, to do it in that prayer closet where we're meeting with God on our own, and to come together as God's people to pray. I want to encourage you to pray. But I don't want to make you feel guilty, as if you might say, well, I don't pray often enough. And I don't want to make you feel inadequate, as if I don't pray well enough. But rather, as brothers and sisters, let's help each other. Is there some way this year that you can help someone else to find confidence in prayer? Is there some way you can, as it were, put your spiritual arm upon their shoulder and help them out in prayer? Can you imagine the difference it would make if our church was growing closer to God in prayer, closer to His will through prayer? If we made more time and space in our lives and our church for prayer? If our weekly prayer meetings and our seasons of prayer and our day of prayer was filled with more and more people coming together and praying? Imagine if our growth groups spent an extra 5 minutes each week in prayer. Imagine the difference this would make to our prayerfulness. Imagine these prayers reaching a willing Savior, one who is able. Moses was able to lead the people of Israel to a breakthrough, not because he was great at prayer, but because the prayers of so many people had reached a willing Savior. And this year in our church, we need breakthroughs. We need breakthroughs in the life of our church, and they're only going to happen when we pray. Of course, we need to put effort into them, but we're not going to make headway until we pray. Just as a practical step, as you arrived today, you were offered a copy of the weekly bulletin. As part of our prayers in this week ahead, I ask you to keep that bulletin close to where you normally pray. Don't just use it as a notice of things that are happening, but start praying about it. Use it as a springboard into prayer. And so, will you see the people who are going to be involved in the service next week, or for me as I put the message together, lift me in your prayers. You see, we've got a welcome to those who are guests with us. Let that remind you to pray for people who may come to our church. You can see the barbecue church is coming up soon. Let that remind you to pray for the outreach into our community, our relationships with each other. All these things, let them spur you on to prayer. But if you can't quite make that connection, then just turn to the back page of the bulletin and you'll find Leah has put a list of prayers for through the week, and just pray those. And all this to the glory of God. Now, if we pray now, imagine how much we will have to be thankful for this time next year as God does these wonderful things in our lives. Last week, as I was praying for the holiday program, I put on my list, Lord, By the end of the week, let 5 children have come to faith. I went back to that and I put a big tick. In fact, I put 2 ticks and I wrote in there, 13 children. That'll teach me. I have to pray more. Let's join together in prayer. Our music team is going to get ready to lead us. But I just want us, because it would be remiss if we didn't really, really pray at this moment. So let's use this as a beginning again, praying as a church. And so, Lord, we come to you with grateful, thankful hearts, knowing who you are and what you are like and what you are calling us to. And so, Lord, we want to thank you for the people of our church. And today, Lord, we pray a special blessing on Cliff in his with his 90th birthday. And we ask, Lord, that you would be near to him and the example of Christian life that he has given to others, that may continue to shine. And Lord, we pray also for that little grandchild, Jacob, 4 days old. Lord, new life, wonderful life, fragile life, crying life. Lord, we pray for Jacob and for his parents. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless that family and hold them in your arms of love. Lord, we pray for our church family who are at the prison. And we pray, Lord, that as they are sharing news of faith with the men in prison there, that you would open the ears and the eyes and the hearts of people to see and know and understand, Lord, that they may take this time where they are in prison to think about how their lives might change. We pray, Lord, for our youth group at Festival One, and we ask that you would bless them and enrich them and carry them in your arms. Lord, that you would speak such faith into their hearts and lives that they would find themselves encouraged and enabled and equipped for this term ahead. We pray for the children who attended our holiday program. Lord, we ask that you would continue to do rich, powerful, spiritual things in their lives. And Lord, we acknowledge before you that some of those children may have gone back to homes where faith in you is not a part of family life, and where it may be hard for them to continue to focus on you. So Lord, we pray that you would enable them to find ways within their family to be able to walk with you. And perhaps, Lord, that these young hearts and lives may be such an influence on their families that their families find spiritual things happening in their lives, spiritual questions arising in their hearts that will draw them to know you and to walk with you. And Lord, we pray that you would be with the families of our community, be a blessing as some new people move into the area, seeking accommodation, settling into new jobs, beginning at new schools. Lord, in all of these things, we lift them up to you. And we ask, Lord, as a church family together, that you would hear and answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.